And for 6 months after that, those parents were on a high plateau. They remembered what they had gone through, and you couldn't worry them with business obligations or with social difficulties or with political aggravations. They all seemed to be so ephemeral, so inconsequential in relation to what they had gone through. But then a year passed, and a year and a half, and that dreadful experience became only a mental memory. It was no longer involved with the emotions. So they began to get ulcers again. They began to worry about the house and about business and about other difficulties. It's human nature. We can't live on that high plane. Our emotional equilibrium would be completely destroyed if we had to be that sensitive always. Our society has had that experience. We were stricken with a great cosmic plague not so many years ago. And we heard the beating of the wings of the angel of death. And Winston Churchill stood with his back to the wall and looked to the time when perhaps the island itself would have to be abandoned and the struggle continued elsewhere in a new world. And Pearl Harbor came, and we became a third-class nation in 20 minutes. And we prayed only that we'd have freedom, that we'd have opportunity, and the cost would never matter. And we were sure that we would never quarrel over sacrifice of any kind. We recovered, not completely, not without impairment. We do wear the braces, and we do drag the foot a little, and we'll continue to for many decades to come. But now, 5 years later, our perspective, the perspective of many of us, has become so dwarfed, so constricted, that we look back and we say, the better we do have, the dark shadow of the swastika hasn't blotted out the sun. But we want it so much more, and so what we do have is no better, really, than that from which we escaped. When I talk about defense of tomorrow, I'm therefore not talking about a utopia. I'm talking about an attitude towards what we are and what we're about to be. We're children, as Bialik, the Hebrew poet, put it, we're children of the dust. We're living between two worlds. We're a transition generation, an interregnum group. We've got one foot in a world that's dissolving, and another foot in a world that's aborning. And the world that's dissolving hasn't quite gone, and the world that's aborning hasn't quite gelled. And it's difficult to live in such a time. And very often we become very queasy, and we become very disillusioned, and we cry out that fate is too much for us, and we're not really in control anymore at all. We're just cockle shells. We have to face up to the problems that we've inherited and that we've created. We have to remember that the presence of those problems is not necessarily a sign of retrogression. And we have to remember that there must be a sense of perspective as we face these inherited difficulties and the new difficulties that must come. And then disappointment will be a prod. It won't be the paralysis of disillusionment. It will be adrenaline, and we need adrenaline for tired hearts. We have to understand that every one of the problems is a challenge. We can choose wrongly, and we can choose rightly, but the choice is still with us. And I think that's what a little Russian Jewess meant when she came to this country and she found magnificent opportunities here. She was a dray horse and used many, many years simply to pull herself out of the rut, to learn the language, to adjust to a new society. But the opportunities were there. And every challenge became a magnificent prop to her for greater fulfillment. And when she wrote The Promised Land, she ended with these words, "This is my latest home, and it invites me to a glad new life. The endless ages have indeed throbbed through my blood, but a new rhythm dances in my veins. America is the youngest of the nations and inherits all that went before in history, and I am the youngest of America's children, and into my hands is given all her priceless heritage. To the last white star espied through the telescope, to the last great thought of the philosopher, mine is the whole majestic past, and mine is the shining future."